Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much indeed for taking the time to attend this morning's call, which is the Sirius Real Estate trading update for the year to 31st of March 2021. I'm joined this morning by Alistair Marks, our Chief Financial Officer, and our Group Financial Director, Dermot Kelly. Maybe I can start by just going through a few highlights of the trading update, and then we'll be able to answer any questions you may have. So as you may have seen from the note, we have grown our rent roll by 7.6% in this year that we're reporting on. In like-for-like terms, that is rent roll growth of just above 5%, 5.2% growth. This is the seventh consecutive year that the company has grown its rent roll by 5% or more. We have done that in part by increasing our pricing, our rate per square meter, by 3.5%. And we've been able to do that in part because despite the COVID crisis, we were able to increase the number of inquiries that our platform was able to generate throughout the pandemic by nearly 20%. In doing so, we were able to maintain our sales conversion. And not only has that enabled us to lift the price, it's also enabled us to increase our total occupancy from 85% to nearly 87%. Throughout this period, we have put a lot of emphasis on our ability to collect cash from customers. We have been particularly proactive in this regard, and I'm pleased to tell you that we've been able to collect 98.2% of all of the invoiced revenue, and we expect to collect the majority of the 1.8% outstanding. In the second half of the year, we returned to acquisitive growth and completed or notarized five assets at just under 46 million euros. And we also continued to grow our joint venture with AXA, the company's titanium portfolio, with the acquisition of Augsburg at just under 80 million euros. So despite the pandemic, we have been able to grow Sirius both organically and acquisitively. And in this period, we think we have demonstrated not only the resilience of our business model, but also the strength of the Sirius platform. And I look forward to June 7th when we announce our full year results, and I will have the opportunity to speak to you all in more detail about those audited results. Right now, all that remains for myself, Alistair and Dermot to do is answer any questions you may have.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We can now take our first question from James Carswell from Peel Hunt. Go ahead, sir. Your line is now open.
Good morning, chaps. Thanks for the update. Very good statement. Just a quick question on the like-for-like rental growth or the rent roll growth in the period. I think I'm right in saying in the first half, it was a very modest decline, and I think some of that was down to a couple of large tenant move-outs. But nonetheless, it looks like H2 has been a really, really strong year or a strong period for that growth. Have you seen a step change in the tenant demand in that period? Or was it principally just due to those large tenants in the first half? And then secondly, and I guess linked to that is, you know, the kind of the more recent restrictions in Germany regarding COVID. I mean, are you again seeing any kind of short-term impact from that? And I guess part of my question is also, are tenants still utilising the buildings in the same way they were, you know, previously when we spoke? And it sounded like Germany had much, much higher utilisation of office buildings than the UK ever did during COVID. Is that still the case?
James, thank you. James, maybe I can answer the second part of your question. And Alistair, maybe I can refer to you afterwards in terms of the first part of the question and the growth in the rent roll. But if I just start with what's happening on the ground in Germany at the moment, I think I said probably 3 months ago that the recovery in Germany is going to be, you know, less vaccine-led and more dependent on testing. And, you know, certainly at the moment in Germany, what we're seeing is we're seeing even greater testing than we saw in the previous the previous waves. You know, it's not uncommon for people to be tested literally on a daily basis. You know, we now have, you know, certain tests whereby if somebody comes into a meeting in our offices, we can actually literally ask them to take that test before they walk into the meeting and we can get the results. In terms of what's happening on the ground, you know, politically, there's a lot of discussion going on in Germany. What is clear is Merkel does not have control of the 16 federal states. And what is clear is that she's coming to the end of a political term and she's finding it quite difficult to influence those federal states. But if you actually look at what is happening on the ground, businesses are continuing to operate. We're continuing to see footfall into our sites. You know, we're running our meeting room business again. And I think most importantly, Sirius has demonstrated that we can manage through these periods of disruption. I mean, if you look at our sales for this year in question, I think, you know, we've sold 160,000 square meters of new tenanted space this year compared to roughly the same number the previous year. You know, we are confident that we can manage through this disruption. But in answer to the question, we are seeing footfall onto our sites. The issue in Germany is as political change occurs, as we lead up to the election, you know, Merkel does not have the decisive control to manage through this pandemic that some other European leaders do have. Alistair, could you maybe help with the first part of the question, please?
Sure, James. And you are correct in the fact that the first half was affected by those large move-outs. And I think it's important to note that those large move-outs were on recently acquired sites. So they're not just normal large move-outs in the ordinary course of the business. They are move-outs on acquisitions where we knew the tenant was actually leaving. So that, I think, distorted the numbers a bit more than what you would expect. Because I think we did actually have a positive like-for-like rent roll increase in the first half despite that. But if you look at the trend this year, we're relatively flat in the first half and then a large increase in the second half. That's been a similar trend over the last 2 to 3 years as well. And I think this year in particular, the reason why things were a bit more back-ended is because whilst inquiries were still fairly high in the first half, whilst we were still able to do a large number of viewings once the initial lockdown was finished, I think people would take a bit longer to sign than what they have in the past. So hence the reason why I think more deals were done in the back half than in the first half. And also, in addition, we had a number of bigger deals that came through later in the year. And in those bigger deals in particular, the lead time between when they actually agreed the deal and people actually signing took a little bit longer. So I think as far as the pandemic and the lockdowns and that are concerned, as far as our business is concerned, I think the major impact has been timing rather than actually doing more deals. So we've been quite resilient. We've been able to increase like-for-likes by more than 5% again this year. It's just that the deals, in order to get them signed, have taken a little bit longer.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Just a reminder to participants, it is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We can now take our next question from Kai Klose from Berenberg. Go ahead, sir. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. I've got two questions, if I may. The first one, could you indicate what was the contribution from indexation to the like-for-like rental growth? And then the second question regarding the requests for lettings, could you indicate to which type of space this was referring to particularly, and also kind of the if there was a change in the size of the space requested? Thank you.
Thanks, Kai. And as usual, it's a very incisive set of questions. Alistair, could you maybe do indexation if I talk about segment size? So, Kai, as you know, we've got three categories that we deal with in our portfolio. So the three categories of space are out-of-town offices, their manufacturing, and their storage. And if you look at the manufacturing segment, that has been, you know, relatively unchanged, with the exception of manufacturers, you know, requesting more storage space. If you look at what's happened with storage, storage demand has increased, both on the commercial and the domestic level. And if you look at offices, you can split the office segment down into people who have an office on our business park because they manufacture on our business park, and people who have standalone offices. And if you look specifically at people who have the standalone offices and people who occupy those larger offices, which is less than 10% of our total rent roll, that segment specifically has slowed down. It's slowed down in much as there are less people in that segment moving out and there are less people moving in. It has stagnated. So the people that we would have expected to have gone have stayed for longer, and the people who we would have expected to have signed, instead of signing, are taking longer to make a decision. But that has been more than compensated for by the increase in the demand for storage. And this is where you see the strength of the business model. What you see is one category stagnates, another category increases, and you can lay one off against the other. And when you look at specifically the office segment, you know, you see that the office segment is made up of different subsegments. So for us, you know, about a third of it is people that just take a big office on a serious business park. But about half of it is people that manufacture on the site anyway, so they can't give their offices up and relocate anywhere else. And the remainder is our smart space offices, which is people choosing offices for one or two people. And the demand there has increased exponentially. And what we are sensing is these are people who already have offices close to the center of town. They genuinely don't know whether they're going to keep those offices, but they're coming to us to rent something on the edge of town because they want to split the groups of people that are working their office up. They genuinely don't know whether they're going to keep that space for a year, 2 years, or give it up in 6 months' time. But what we are definitely seeing is demand on the edge of town from people who already have offices in the center of town. It remains to be seen, you know, the longevity of that demand, whether it's a short-term hit or whether it's a longer-term trend. Alistair, do you want to talk about the indexation on the rent roll?
Sure. The indexation is going to be fairly similar to what it has been in the past. I think it's just north of about 1.5% of the 5%. But that is a combination of both contractual increases, which we apply within contracts, as well as uplifting tenants upon renewal. So it's a combination of the two. So it was quite positive to see that we were still getting uplifts on renewal, even, I guess, during the COVID period.
Understood. Thank you very much indeed.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to remind participants that it is star one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. So we can now take our next question from Romney Fox from ASI. Go ahead, your line is now open.
Thank you. Good morning and well done. You've announced a couple of acquisitions in the little latter part of the year, obviously sort of H1, understandably, given the pandemic, very quiet. Just wondering, is it sort of back to normal on that front? We'd love to get a bit of colour on, you know, the transaction market in Germany at the moment, please.
Yeah, we think it is, Romany. And, you know, we want to continue our momentum of acquisitive growth. The challenge is, of course, you know, values, because you might have expected a year ago to see valuations come under pressure in this sector in Germany. That's not what we've seen at all. So whilst we do intend to continue the acquisitive momentum, the point that I would make is that, you know, values are certainly going up, not down in this in this sector. But that said, you know, as you know, we buy at a different price point within the titanium joint venture than the price point that we buy for our own balance sheet. So I suspect it's more a question of the balance of acquisitions, whether it's, you know, led by titanium or alternatively whether we lead it with our own balance sheet. But I would definitely say that our intention is to continue the acquisitive momentum.
Okay, thank you.
So it appears there are no further questions at this time. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one. And we can now take our next question from Christian Govindasamy from Marriott Investment Management. Go ahead, your line is now open.
Hi there. I'd like to find out what the NAV is post the acquisitions that were completed, if you can just give us an indication of that, and if there were any write-downs in property valuations or uplifts during the period. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can give you guidance on the NAV because we're in a closed period, but certainly we will be able to give you good guidance on that on the 7th of June when we announce our audited results. But I think, you know, the guidance I would give you is what the statement does say, is that we've increased the rent roll like for like by over 5%. And you can see that that increase in revenue is likely to result in an increase in net operating income, which you would expect, all things being equal, to lead to an increase in values and therefore NAV. But I think that's about as far as I can go, given the fact that, you know, we are auditing accounts at the moment. Alistair, do you agree with that, or is there any other colour we could give?
No, that's about it. I think, obviously, the valuers have gone through the valuations and that. We've got preliminary numbers, but none of that is public at the moment, so we can't really say too much on that.
But please, listen to our call. Come to our presentation on the 7th of June. You know, be very, very happy to slice and dice that and go into, you know, lots of detail once the accounts have been audited and signed off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Thank you for listening to what we have to say. Please do mark in your diaries the 7th of June when we announce our results. I'm going to turn back over to the operator now to close the call, but thank you once again.